Welcome back to this special presentation of Crypto Goes Mainstream live from the One Hotel in Brooklyn. We are presented, by the way, by Grayscale Investments. I'm Brian Chung, and thrilled to be introducing this next panel to talk about the importance of venture capital in the crypto space. So for this, we've got a fantastic panel. We have Pantera Director of Portfolio Development, Franklin Bai, along with Blockchain Capital Senior Associate, Kinjal Shah. Thanks so much for joining us on this lovely afternoon. I want to start off this kind of panel by talking about the investment universe. It's very different now than it was in, say, 2015, 2017, 2018, even 2020. There are mature companies, there are startups, there are scams, there's diamonds in the rough. So I guess kind of just to get the VC perspective on things, is the field right now harder to navigate from a VC perspective now than it was in the past? I want to start with Kinjal, and then maybe right after that, I will go over to Franklin.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say in the past, 3 years, we've seen proliferation of just companies that are building in this space. And so I think just having a handle on the sector today requires specialization in some of these subsectors. So whether that's focusing on DAOs or NFTs or DeFi or whatever it may be, we're definitely starting to see the space become a little bit bigger than, any one individual's ability to kind of track it. And then I think the other piece that's really the biggest change is the amount of late stage growth that we've seen in a lot of later stage financing activity and the addition of a lot of generalist venture capitalists that maybe were not playing as big of a role in the market and are entering in a pretty meaningful way.
Franklin?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest differences between now and say 2017 or 2018 is that, it's sort of that old saying that, we tend to overestimate technology and new technology in the near term and underestimate it in the long term. And I think that's exactly what we saw between now and the past cycle of ICOs and of new token projects or new smart contract platforms that were just really in the early stages of launching back in 2017. Now we're seeing all of those really come to fruition. We're seeing things like Ethereum, Polkadot, Solana actually have real developer activity, see decentralized finance really grow into a massive alternative financial system with real cash flows. And I think that's part of what Kinjal is talking about, which is that we're seeing a lot of traditional venture capitalists now get excited because they're really seeing these things become tangible. Millions of users who are not only investing into crypto assets, but actually using them to manage a part of their portfolio or to use new platforms in Web3 and in gaming that were really just ideas back then.
Well, Franklin, you bring up traditional VCs. And what's interesting is that a lot of traditional VCs, not all of them, but a lot of traditional VCs try to stick to a thematic approach to where they fund and what companies they ultimately pick. But as you just kind of outlined, there's so many different kind of corners in the crypto space right now when you think about DeFi, NFTs, DAOs, for example. So at least from your perspective, are you trying to stick to one theme? Are you saying, hey, let's just stick to NFTs right now, for example, or is it easier to kind of hit all of these types of spaces at once because there's overlap? Because it seems like a lot of these are kind of branching off seemingly by the day.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we look at the ecosystem now, it really has become a universe of sub-universes. You've got NFTs as sort of the most consumer-facing application today. You've got decentralized finance or DeFi, really speaking to those who are looking at this as more of a fintech evolution. And I think what we're seeing now is that being part of this ecosystem as an investor, you really need to develop a team that can tackle all of these things. It really isn't just one monolithic space anymore. And so what that means is that you need the type of experience of investing into consumer technology, what it means to launch to the mainstream, and as well as the sort of evolution of the financial system today and what that means in terms of having experience from Wall Street or experience from growing a fintech platform. And so all those things are folded in now. But at the same time, we're still in a place where this ecosystem hasn't fully merged with our traditional one. Being able to invest across the whole spectrum when it comes to exchanges, payment processors, custodians, all the way to decentralized applications, all those really fold together because they're still all working with each other, not working with the traditional system just yet.
Kinjal, same question there. I mean, do you feel like you have the know-how in-house and your team to kind of wrap your hands around all these new emerging technologies? Do you need to have a different approach to looking at a DAO project as opposed to a DeFi project?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we've historically taken a generalist approach to the market. And now what we're finding is investment team members have their specialization and areas that they really do a double click, a deep dive into. But also really acknowledging the fact that a lot of these different subsectors do overlap. And so from an investment team perspective, it's really important to not only have like deep coverage of every individual subsector, but also a broad understanding of how the market is moving and how some of these things might be interrelated. And, you know, I think of crypto venture capital as being highly specialized in the sense that, you know, you kind of need to be doing this 24/7, going down the rabbit hole. And that was true 3 years ago, and it is even more true, I think, today.
Well, Kinjal, I mean, you talk about the idea of, you know, having to always be on your toes in this space, being on 24/7. But is that just competition among crypto VCs, or are other traditional VCs also hopping in the space where, you know, they might be considered crypto VCs as well? What does the competition in the space look like if a bunch of people are trying to gun for the same company to fund the same project?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely say that it has become increasingly competitive. I think everyone today is still sort of determining what their value add is going to be in the venture landscape. The way that I tend to bucket it is that there are some crypto native services that venture capitalists are offering, and then there are some more traditional services. And so a lot of the crypto native services require some sort of expertise in governance or more on the engineering side, being able to work alongside some of these protocols and help them with their token design or with their infrastructure or whatever that might look like. And then some of the more traditional services could look a little bit more like, you know, business development or recruiting or whatever that may be. And so in today's landscape, I think there's room for both. It's just really about figuring out what your value add is going to be, what's your niche, and then doubling down from there, because there's certainly a great deal of competition out there.
And so, Brian, the other thing I'd also add.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the other thing I'd also add to Kinjal's answer there is that, you know, it really comes down to conviction and community. You know, on the conviction side, we've seen that in bull markets, a lot more capital flows into the space from folks who aren't focused on it 24/7, like Kinjal said. And, you know, that really starts to change when we hit the harder parts of the market, when things are difficult and prices are down. So being able to show that you have that long-term conviction really matters to the founders that we're investing in. And on the community side, it really is about participating, being part of the actual community in these decentralized networks, rather than, you know, the sort of traditional approach of showing up at the board of directors meeting once a quarter, reviewing the financials, and then hopping off to your next call.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point you bring up, is that it's the community that many times allows you to get plugged in with some of these projects that you could end up finding as a very attractive opportunity. But at the same time, I guess there is a little bit of a caution that you might need to have there, because you want to make sure that you're not funding a project just because they're a buddy or a friend, right? Is there a lot of that going on in the VC space as well, that, you know, maybe some people need to be a little bit more kind of thoughtful of when they're going into the space?
It's a great question. You know, I think there's a pretty tight-knit community across the whole ecosystem, but it really because of shared values. It's not because of the personal relationships. And I think what's interesting about, you know, sort of what we're seeing on the valuation side is that it's a somewhat frothy market that we're seeing. And a lot of that is because we're seeing non-specialized venture capitalists coming into the space who may not fully understand what it means to invest in the early stages of a token project or a new decentralized network. And sometimes that may end up being a challenge in the long term for these companies to deal with. So, you know, when it comes to thinking about whether to invest, what valuations to invest in, it really is a multidimensional analysis. You know, it's not a simple calculus of, hey, the bigger number we can hit, the better outcome we'll find in the future.
Now, Kinjal, Franklin just talked about a frothy market right now. How do you approach your toolbox, given some of the valuations that you're seeing out there? I mean, it's pretty obvious that capital is out there. You can find it. But are you kind of tweaking your approach to things? Because, you know, you might have an M&A tool in your back pocket that you could use for a certain deal, or a SPAC, or a partnership, or a joint venture. How are you approaching the current market with things that are beyond just handing a bunch of cash over through seed funding?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, this is probably one of the most exciting times for our portfolio at Blockchain Capital, where we're starting to see a lot of interesting partnership opportunities, growth opportunities, just, you know, a lot of interest that we previously were not seeing from entities outside of the crypto space. And so we're definitely thinking very strategically around, you know, where some of those relationships might be seated today that, you know, could be potentially beneficial over the next few years. And also just taking in valuations amongst the macro backdrop. So really trying to, you know, find a risk-adjusted way of looking at the market today. There are some instances where a valuation, you know, might be inflated for a particular reason, or might be, you know, relatively underinflated. And it really just depends on a case-by-case basis. But having that macro zoomed out view of, you know, we're in a bull market, understanding the amount of attention and capital that is being thrown on, you know, within this ecosystem, and what that could mean for our portfolio and where we want to double down.
Kinjal, as a follow-up to that, are there other types of intangibles that you also look for beyond valuation? Because one important point to bring up is just diversity in the space as well, right? Female-led, minority-led ventures that oftentimes need a little bit more air in the space here. How does that factor into the types of financing decisions that you make as well, to make sure that next, you know, the future generation of leaders in this space will also be a representative coalition of people?
Absolutely. This is an area that I spend a lot of time thinking about. You know, 3 years ago, when I started taking founder pitches, it was really difficult to come across female founders, or at least it just wasn't happening as much. And so I'm being very intentional this year, and you know, the entire firm is being intentional about how we can, you know, find more female founders or diverse founders across the ecosystem. I host office hours monthly for any female founders in the space. And also, you know, directly am involved in a DAO called Komarabi that's investing in female founders. So, you know, as we see the space mature, I think the more intentional we can be about how we build it, it's going to, you know, result in better outcomes. And that's something that I'm in particular focusing on.
And Franklin, I want to ask about the regulatory aspect of all of this as well, because crypto, which we talked about earlier in the show with Michael Sonnenschein, is definitely still a gray area. For the VC world, is regulatory barriers a big factor when it comes to where you choose or can or cannot invest in?
I think for us, it's a space that we pay a lot of attention to, but ultimately we're really optimistic about the regulatory landscape for crypto. You know, when you look at the US in particular, all of the regulatory agencies have actually ruled pretty much in favor of crypto assets being an asset class, of investors having access to them in a way that is at par with any other asset class in their portfolio. And I think there's still maybe some uncertainty for the SEC around specific transactions or specific projects. And for them, it's really a fact-finding phase right now to understand what's been going on, what really constitutes fraud that should absolutely be expelled from the system and punished. But you know, for the asset class more broadly, it's actually been great progress so far. And when you think about regulation from a global perspective, it's an even better picture. You know, there are a lot of countries that are welcoming crypto into their ecosystems, whether it's in South Korea or Latin America. And so we're really interested in investing into those areas, because crypto is going to happen. If it doesn't happen in the US, it's going to happen abroad and eventually make its way back here. So it's really, the impetus is on regulators, legislators, but also us as investors to be able to articulate that and understand that. The other thing that I'd mention is that, you know, one of the undersold narratives is that the US is probably best positioned to succeed in a world with crypto. Open global systems have benefited the US more than any other country in history. open global trade or open financial systems, the US is probably the one that wins the most there. And so crypto really is something that can be great for the US.
The global aspect just so important. Unfortunately, we do have to leave the conversation there, but a fantastic panel discussion again with Pantera Director of Portfolio Development, Franklin Bai, as well as Blockchain Capital Senior Associate, Kinjal Shah. Thank you so much for hopping on our show today.